I just want the thing to work. No matter how it's tucked in, I just want it to work. Amen, amen. Take your Bibles, please. Turn to 1 Kings. Turn to 1 Kings. I'm not sure when we're going to finish the Kings. Maybe never. I don't know. We haven't gotten to the split of the kingdom yet. That's coming next week, I think. We'll talk about Jeroboam next week. Jeroboam and Rehoboam, the two Bohems. Bus just pulled in. Need to pray for our buses. We're in a straight betwixt two buses, actually. The buses may not ever be repaired. We're working on figuring out if we're going to do anything with those two buses. I am going to guess that we will be scrapping the two older ones and getting one. Hopefully, this is my thought, and I can't put any fact to this whatsoever. I'm hoping that we can get a smaller, like a 54 passenger, that has air conditioning. That's what I'd really like to have, that we can take on senior trips and again, a nice trip bus. We need to be able to take trips, and the big bus did phenomenal going to Gettysburg. But that now that we've got that bus and it's 78 passenger, we don't need another one that's 78 passenger at this moment. And it sure would be nice to have a 54, nice bus, shorter, nice bus that would have air conditioning. That would be very, very nice, and we could take those longer trips in the air-conditioned bus, and I don't have to worry about having the windows down. So we don't know what we're going to do yet, though. Those buses may be fixed, but I don't think we're going to dump a whole lot of money into those buses. They've done very well for us for over these years, and it may be time for those to go to the graveyard of buses. So pray about that. And we also have the roof coming up for the Becca building. It's in your bulletin. I want to make sure that you see that. The roof is going to cost, to have it done, we're looking upwards of $8,000 to have that roof put on. And welcome to the real world. That's what it is. So the preacher is going to ask 80 people to give $100 each and see if we can't get that roof put on. We need to have it put on before summer's out. That roof, if you've seen it, I think really it needs to be put on as soon as we can. That roof is falling apart, and we really need to have that put on before more wind damage comes. Thunderstorm season's coming. And if we get a couple of bad storms, we'll end up getting water inside the Becca building. If we don't get that fixed, then it'll ruin what's inside the Becca building. If you recall, it wasn't too long ago that we put the ceiling tiles in. Well, if you get water on them ceiling tiles, you're replacing them. There's no fixing them once they get wet. So we need to make sure we get that fixed as soon as possible. So pray about what you could give towards the roofing project. I know economic times are difficult, but thank God the Lord doesn't care about your economics. He cares about our faithfulness. So my wife and I know that we'll be giving towards it, and we won't ask anybody to do anything we won't do ourselves, but pray about that. And we may have the men work on it. We don't know what we're going to do with it yet. We're just putting it out that the financial need is there. It's going to take a lot of money, and we're hoping to get that done as quickly as possible. So anyways, turn your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 11. We talked last week about Solomon in the end of his life starting to ignore what God would have him to do. I showed you in the scriptures over in Deuteronomy where he was supposed to not. And what's funny is, and I thought about this, you know, I got to believe the Lord gets highly irritated as I've been reading and studying the scriptures over the past few days. It's no surprise to me that the Lord got so irritated with Solomon, because it just seems to me that Solomon, his king, was called out. The Lord knew, and what bothers me is the Lord made him the wisest man, and the Lord was very pleased with Solomon wanting to be wise. He was very pleased with Solomon deciding he wanted to treat God's people well. God was pleased with that, and God gave him this wisdom, and I think it went to Solomon's head, to be real honest with you, and I think it would go to ours as well. As Solomon, over the years, people came to him bearing gifts and all these other things, and Solomon became very wealthy. You read all about that, and I talked about not taking things for granted. I even worked Mother's Day into that. Somehow, I don't know how I did that, but anyways, the Lord gave all these things to Solomon. Solomon, I believe, started taking them for granted. I believe Solomon then, at the end of his life, decided, you know what, I'm smart enough, I'm wise enough, I am astute enough, studied enough, I know enough where I can survive doing things wrong. I know enough where I can survive being around other people that are doing things wrong. I am smart enough. And here's what's amazing. The Lord commanded the king, this is really all he told him to do, be a king, write down the word of God, study it. Basically, that's all he told him to do. Solomon obviously didn't do that because over in Deuteronomy 17, the Lord said this is what the king is going to do. Now, if I was a king, I would say, well, I'm certainly not going to do that. I don't want to be that guy. Out of all the things, well, you're going to have an associate pastor that's a jerk and does horrible things and steals money and does all the other. I don't want to be that associate pastor. If it's written down, God said this is going to be the guy, I don't want to be that guy. Whoever that is, I don't want to be him. But obviously Solomon didn't read it, because if he would have, he would have said, well, that's me. I'm the one that's gathered wives unto myself. I'm the one that's gathered gold. I'm the one that's buying horses out of Egypt. I'm that guy. I'm that wicked king. And I think that's what, as we study this, I think that this is why God got so irritated. And it makes me wonder. And I mean, I don't think you have to guess how I feel about the Word of God. I think everybody in here knows how I feel about the Word of God and how important it is to your life. I personally believe there's not one thing except salvation that's more important to your life than the Word of God. And you get salvation through hearing the Word of God. So all those things together, I think the Word of God is pretty important. Now, knowing these things, I want you to take your Bibles, look at 1 Kings chapter 11, and we're going to look at verse 9. Now, this statement, and I want you to grab a hold of this right off the bat. It is amazing to me. Verse 9, the Lord says this, and the Lord was angry with Solomon. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want that ever to be said about me. I don't know that it hasn't been said by God already, that God was angry with me. But how would you like to be the wisest, richest, most influential man in the entire world, and God's angry with you? Why? Why is God angry? Look at what it says. Because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which appeared unto him twice. It's not like God kept himself hidden. God appeared unto him twice and had commanded him concerning this thing that he should not go after other gods, but he kept not that which the Lord commanded. God's mad because Solomon didn't, even if he heard and listened, he didn't do. Now, wait a minute now. This is what I want you to understand. Do you know how many people in the whole wide world know the Bible? I don't think it's very many. But there are people that do. It's not enough, Brother Carl, to know it. That's what I came to grips with out of that verse right there. It's not enough to know it. Oh, well, I know enough Bible to have an argument with somebody. Oh, that's not what I'm talking about. Oh, I hope you argue all the day long. Do whatever you want to do. But that's not what the Bible's telling us here. It's not saying that it's enough to know it. It's not saying it's enough that you're smart. And I know I'm surrounded by smart people right now. Some of the smartest that I know are sitting in this room. But that's not enough. It also is telling you that your heart, even though you know the truth, your heart, even though you've been taught, your heart, even though you're wise and that wisdom came from God, your heart, and don't look at me and act like you don't know what I'm talking about, your heart, from time to time, your heart is exceedingly wicked. Your heart, these things that I'm telling you, can be turned away from the God that you know. Solomon was not an idiot. Solomon knew. I believe Solomon knew, but I also believe this, and listen to me, mature Christians, you spiritual ones. I hate that word, by the way, when it comes to people. Oh, I'm a very highly spiritual person. You just told me you're not. Honest to goodness, as soon as you tell me that you are spiritual, my brain wants to tell me right away that you're not. When you're willing to say I'm a spiritual person, that I have a hard time with that. Because to me, honestly, I'd rather say, you know what, I don't know enough about God. And I don't care how smart and mature you get. I don't care if you've been saved 50 years. You don't know enough about God. Now listen, as we look at this, Solomon, I believe, knew. Solomon, I believe, was exceedingly wise. God appeared to him twice, is what the Bible says. All these things happened, yet Solomon turned his heart away. And God called his shot, by the way. How can I just add, just a spitball here? How impressive is that, by the way, Brother Carl? How impressive is that, that God said way back in Deuteronomy, your king eventually is going to gather under himself wives, he's going to gather under himself gold, he's going to gather under himself horses out of Egypt. That's pretty good, don't you think? That's pretty impressive that God called that shot, and Solomon was that shot. Look at what it says here. If you read this scripture, this is what God is going to do. And I'm giving you this as a warning today, because how many of us believe that we are better than Solomon? I'm thankful that none of you raised your hand. Either you're too tired to put it up or you know, don't raise your hand to that one. Okay? Listen, I don't believe any of us are better than Solomon. And this is what the Bible says. Verse 9 again. And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice and had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods, but he kept not that which the Lord commanded. Look at verse 11. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, forasmuch as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee and will give it to thy servant. Notwithstanding, in thy days I will not do it for David thy father's sake, but I will rend it out of the hand of thy son. Howbeit, I will not rend away all the kingdom, but will give one tribe to thy son for David my servant's sake and for Jerusalem's sake, which I have chosen. Look at verse 14. This is what happens. And the Lord stirred up an adversary. Now I want to ask you a question. And there's three different adversaries I see here, and I'm going to give them to you as quickly as possible. And I thought about this. There's times in every one of our lives, I believe this with all my heart, that our heart gets turned away from the things of God. No, I don't care what it's for. It could be for good things, by the way. It could be for things that are in the eyes of people, wouldn't be terrible things. But I'm going to tell you, Brother Carl, I can't soft soap it. I can't make it, well, it's okay. I can't make it okay. If your heart gets turned away from the things of God, I don't care how you slice it, it is wrong. I don't care if it's for good things. I don't care. Listen, as great and wonderful as the ministry out at Hattie Larlem is, if the heart of the people gets turned away from God because of a ministry, it's wrong. I'm just using it as an example. And I'm not saying their hearts are, but I'm telling you this right now. If it becomes to a point where you start doing things wrong in God's eyes, I don't care how good it is in your eyes, it's wrong in His. Now, Solomon was doing bad things. Please don't misread me. And when God saw this, God got sick of it. And listen, I get fearful out of our lives because I know folks that literally will say, you know what? God hasn't done anything to me yet. Well, Solomon, he had all these wives. Do you think he got them in a week? Huh? Do you think he got the 700 wives, 300 concubines? Do you think he got them in a month? Do you think that he got the high places and the worshiping of other gods and bowing down to the wives that he had and doing whatever they wanted, and he started worshiping all, you read that verse, all these other gods. Do you think he did that in a day? It took time. And I believe what happened, Brother Jordan, is Solomon was so big inside of his britches that he said, I can do it because I am smart from God. And these other things that I'm doing will not affect my service to God. Let me caution you, Christian. If you're doing something, listen to me, boy, this is not going to go over well, preacher. If you're missing church for something, your heart's turning away from God. Hold on to it now. If you stop giving your tithe because you can't pay your bills, let me tell you something, this ain't going to go over well. But your heart's turning away from the things of God. If you stop reading your Bible because your magazine's prettier, I'm going to tell you right now, you're turning your heart from the things of God. If you're going to get on your computer instead of getting with your prayer journal, I'm going to tell you right now, you're turning your heart from the things of God. And you may say, I've been saved for 40 years. How dare you, little whippersnapper, tell me what I got going on. Solomon was the wisest man in the world. You better than him? Now, I'm preaching to you, and it's coming right off the wall to me. Don't you tell me that there hasn't been things that come in your life that have turned your heart from the things of God. I'm not telling you to be super Christian. And at the end, I'll show you the difference between two kings that had problems, both of them. Look at what it says. And the Lord stirred up an adversary unto Solomon, Hadad the Edomite. He was the king of the king's seed in Edom. Now listen, and I don't have time to go over all this, but this man here was mad at Solomon, but it wasn't mad at Solomon. It was from his past. David, his daddy, went through and wiped out that place, killed all the men. And this fella had to escape. And when he escaped, he ended up coming back, and the Lord stirred up an adversary. Listen to me. If you do what God wants you to do and you keep your heart focused on Him, God will beat your adversaries. Here's the difference. Seriously, God will take out your adversary if you keep your heart focused on Him. You say, well, that hasn't worked in my past. How do you know? I'm amazed with Christians. My life's going terrible right now, preacher. Imagine how bad it could have been if your heart was turned away. Huh? Oh, I know, the preacher's lives are always flowery and beautiful. Oh, we fight adversaries all the time. We fight inner adversaries most of the time. And this preacher fights inner adversaries because we, man, to do good, I allow not, blah, 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 blah. We go back and forth with our lives and we realize, man, I just don't have myself focused on God enough. Christian, I'm going to tell you right now, and I want to help you. God, if you keep your heart away from God and you keep doing the things that you're doing, you keep going in the wrong direction. And I know I'm preaching to Sunday school, and the vast majority of you don't have this issue today. But eventually, I promise you, you keep your heart turned away from God, He's going to stir up an adversary, and He's going to stir up an adversary out of your past. He'll stir up an adversary that may have never been your enemy from before, and who he was beating the enemies before. Now, all of a sudden, he's letting the enemy stir up against you. Well, that never would have beat me. Man, I never had a problem with alcohol while I was going to church. Huh? Alcohol was a big enemy of mine when I was younger. Big enemy. Get me out of church, I'll get myself right back into drinking. Get my heart turned away from God, I'll go right back. No way! I can never see you doing that! You're telling me that you wouldn't go back to the past enemies? Somebody help me this morning. Christian, God is the one that protects you. God is the one that defeats those enemies. I didn't stop drinking because I was tough. I didn't stop drinking because I wanted to. I stopped drinking because God helped me. You say, well, Brother Dave, you weren't even attending church. That doesn't mean God didn't help me. See, but you got to understand something. Your heart better stay on God. Your heart better stay on things, or you're going to end up in your past. You're going to end up right back to where you were before. And let me tell you something. I guarantee you this man right here has seen multitudes of people go back to that past. You get yourself out of church, you're too smart. I don't need church. A preacher, how dare you talk on tithing? You talk about tithing too much, preacher. I'm tired of money. All money, 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 money. We need a roof. We need the money. Money, 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 money. That's all you ever talk about, preacher. You know why you're mad? Because you stopped giving it. And the next thing you know, money, 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 and you're out of the church, and you're going right back into the world that you came from. Don't lose your salvation. I guarantee you that. But I promise you this, you go back to the enemies that you had defeated in the past, the enemies that were taken out of your life before, the enemies that were of no effect before, the enemies that were not even present. Now they become your enemy again. God stirs them up, and they start to take over. Not only does he stir up the enemies of the past, look at verse 23. And God stirred him up another adversary. Most of us, one is enough. And God stirred him up another adversary, Rezon, the son of Eliada, which fled from his lord Hadadezer, the king of Zobah. And he gathered men unto him and became captain over a band when David slew them of Zobah. And they went to Damascus and dwelt therein and reigned in Damascus. And he was an adversary to Israel all the days of Solomon, beside the mischief that Hadad did. And he abhorred Israel and reigned over Syria. Now this is what I see here. Not only will he stir up an enemy from the past, he stirs up the enemy you have right now. What are you battling today? Now think about this. I want you to think about this. This man was against Solomon all the days of Solomon. Is that not what that says? But the Lord beat him back all those years because Solomon had peace for the vast majority of his kingdom. Now listen, you have this peace in the vast majority of your Christianity, but then your heart gets turned away from the things of God, and the next thing you know, those things that you've been battling start to defeat you again. We act like, Brother Mike, that the battles that we have as Christians once we get saved ought to go away. My life should turn into a bed of roses now. Here's what happens. You get your mind and your heart turned off the things of God. Your present demons or inner battles that you have, they start to win again. Yes. Have you ever asked yourself, why am I constantly being defeated? Where's your heart? See, I love the people that say, well, I'm constantly being defeated because this is terrible, or that's terrible, or we didn't paint the church my color, or all these things, and all these things happen. Oh, bless God, if the senior program was run better, or we had more buses, or I'm just not getting fed anymore. You know, all of those things are pathetic. This is what's happening. Your heart's turned away. I always want people to reflect on themselves. Let's go get a mirror and find out where the issues really are. Well, this is hard preaching. Well, let me tell you something. I wish Solomon would have got some of this. Solomon was the wisest man in the whole wide world, but he didn't have a mirror in the house at the end of his ministry. Why are these enemies coming? I'm battling the enemies of the past. Not only that, I'm battling the enemies of my present. All these things are glory to God. I'm sick and tired of hearing Brother Dave talking about the Bible. I'm sick and tired. The preaching's just not that good anymore. Not doing anything for me. Do you know why nobody's sitting next to you in the pew? Because you haven't asked anybody to come. Those battles that we're facing, those battles that we're fighting, those battles that we fight right now today, you turn your heart away from God. They're going to start to win. You keep your heart stayed on Him. Oh, you'll fight battles, but He'll do the fighting. But you turn your heart away from. Have you ever heard truth in this church? Every week, as painful as delivering the truth is, you turn your heart away from the things of God, I promise you, your current enemies will start to win. Not only this, I want you to look at the next scripture too. Chapter 11, verse 31. And he said to Jeroboam, take thee 10 pieces. Ahijah had just come and stripped this man of his raiment and cut it into 12 pieces. This is a prophecy that God gave that he's going to rend the kingdom out of Solomon's hand. He's going to give it to his sons, or servants, and one man's going to get 10 tribes, the other man's going to get 2 tribes. Look at what it says here. He said to Jeroboam, take thee ten pieces, for thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, behold, I will rend the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon and will give 10 tribes to thee. Now, wait a minute. He's already focused on the enemies of his past. He's already focused on the current enemies. Now he's delivering a prophecy of the future. Do you know that's what we do here? Oh, it's not about prophecy. It's about scriptural truth. If you turn your heart away from God, this is what will happen. We're not second guessing. This is what will happen. Why do preachers preach against the things that we do and spit on you in the first 4 rows and get violent and have red faces? Why? Because we recognize the gravity of God's word and what will happen. We don't have to project the future. God has already given us the tapes. We know what the future is. If you turn your heart away from God, you will lose the battle and you will have your future stripped from you. There is, listen, God hasn't given us any other direction. You turn your heart away from God, you're going the wrong way. You turn your heart away from the things of God and get your nose out of the Bible. Brother Dave, you don't understand how hard it is for me to read every day. I'm going to tell you right now, it's much harder when you don't. I'm going to be real honest with you. Solomon here, at the end of his life, the wisest man, the richest man, the smartest man, the one that was more revered than any other man on the face of the earth, falls away from God, turns his heart away from God, and loses everything. not just him, his kid and his servants then lose everything. Let me help you here. This is not difficult. If I turn my heart away from God, what do you think is going to happen to my babies? No, you better hear this today, Christian, because if you fall out of church, Brother Mike, well, you say, well, my son isn't coming to church quite all that much right now. You got a good boy, brother. You fall out of church, he will never come. Here's the gravity of the situation. Solomon falls out of God's will. It doesn't get recovered for a very, very long time for the entire nation. Well, I'm not very important. If I fall out, my kids will certainly stay with God. I would love to agree with you. I don't. And yes, I'm an example of somebody that his parents weren't in church. And God took me out. I'm few. I am amazed how we forget our jobs as parents. Do you know, you want to know what I love? I love that Dan Sabo and Larry Brumman have been serving for 40 years. You know what that tells their children? They're faithful. I love faithfulness. I'm not a kind of person, I don't need to see you dynamic and I'm involved. I want to see you in church every day. I want to see you in church when the doors are open. Why? Because it shows your kids that you're faithful. You know what? Well, you know what I want, Natalie? Do you know why? It's not me, and it's not my wife. But believe me, because me and my wife are faithful to church, because we're faithful to the things of God, it's no surprise to me that my daughter rode the bus this morning. Yeah. It's not because of us, but I guarantee you, I didn't hurt at any by coming to church. When you guys have babies, don't be surprised if your kids get saved at 5 and 6 years old because you're in church. Don't be surprised. Listen, you say, well, my babies might turn out wrong. They might. Kids make the dumbest choices ever. Sounds just like us. I know we make dumb choices. I know kids do too. But don't you sell me on the fact that my babies are going to do what they want to do. That way I'm just going to do whatever I want to do. Don't put that on the shoulders of your children. Show them to do right and then let them make their choices. But show them to do right. Solomon says, no, I'm good. I'm good. Let's go make high places. Let's go Ashtoreth and all these other people. Let's go worship them. What do you think the kids did? Huh? What do you think the servants did? They did what they saw out of daddy. God not only took away, gave him past enemies, not only did he give him present enemies, he sealed his future too. Turn your heart away from things of God, please. Give it a shot. This is not prophecy I'm giving you. This is what's going to happen. I can't sugarcoat it, preacher. Go ahead, drink alcohol. I promise you, you'll be in it. I've been saved now for 20 years. I could drink one. Hey, a little wine for thy stomach's sake. Come on, it's in the Bible, preacher. It's in there. A little wine for the stomach's sake. They didn't have Pepto-Bismol back then. They had wine. A little wine for thy stomach's sake. Or give the wine to the grieving in heart or the ones that are about to die. Are you about to die? I catch you drinking, you might be. You get yourself involved in alcohol, I promise you, you'll be involved in alcohol. You can't take a minute break. See, the devil knows that. The devil knows your frame, Brother Coolidge. And if you go back into your past even for a minute, he's going to raise up that enemy and we'll lose.
Amen. Amen. I'll go back like a dog going back to his body.
That's right.
Yeah.
Amen. Now, a few more minutes. It's amazing to me. Throughout all this, God says, I'm going to rend the kingdom out of your hand. I'm going to give it eventually to David. Because I'm going to keep one tribe for David. Because David was a man after my own heart. Because David, I got to thinking about that. Brother Bill, David was an adulterer and a murderer. Solomon did things wrong. Did David do everything right? Then why is David held up as somebody that God set the bar of kingship with David? Set the bar with him. You have to attain to this man. You have to attain to a murderer? and an adulterer? Seemed odd to me. Do you want me to tell you what the difference between Solomon and David was? Because in my opinion, God gave Solomon a whole lot more to work with than David. He gave him wisdom. It was beyond measure. He was held up higher than anybody else in the whole wide world. It would seem to me, Miss Katie, that it would have been great if Solomon would have used that to be a witness. Think about that. If everybody looked up to you, Brother Stephen, as you were the end-all, be-all, you got a choice, man. You could make yourself wealthy or you could propagate the gospel of Jesus Christ. Everything I say, whatever comes out of my mouth, the whole world is waiting on the edge of their seat to hear what Solomon has to say. And Solomon makes judgment but never makes God number one. Think about that. Here's the difference. So simple. It is amazingly simple. It's amazing how much we miss it. The difference between Solomon and David is a one-word difference. Repentance. Repentance. David over and over made mistakes. There's no doubt about that, Brother Mike. He made mistakes over and over and over again. But every time he made a mistake, he sought out the preacher and cried before God. I'm not worthy of what God's given me. I'm not worthy to be God's servant. I'm not worthy. I'm so sorry, God, for the things that I have done. And God took even the filth that he did, and we got Solomon out of the filth. It's amazing to me that God used even the horrible things that he did. God made them work out for good. And David, here he is. David is a man that messed up. David is a man that had a problem. And let me tell you, Christian, you will mess up. You will have problems. You will have issues. But if you seek out God and ask his forgiveness and ask him to help and repent of the things that you've done. I haven't been to church all the time. Well, let me tell you something, Christian. Get you to this altar and beg God for forgiveness. Because guess what? In the scripture, he's required to forgive you. What happened with Solomon was he never sought repentance. He never told God he was sorry. All those things that God gave him. Too smart, too mature. Solomon was the greatest. That was the problem. Be very careful of what you look at yourself as. Because that can be the difference between the Lord defeating your enemies or the Lord stirring them up. The difference between David and Solomon was not less sin. It was not. The difference was David knew who he was. And David said he was sorry for it. Don't ever get so wise that you never find your way up to the altar. It's amazing how smart and wise we get. We outgrow the steps down this old aisle. We forget the way to get there. Preacher, it's already 10 after 12. If I go to invitation, good Lord, it's going to make church last another 5 minutes and my roast might burn. I would to God you'd forget about the roast and start to make your heart burn. I'm telling you what the Bible's true, and it's never going to mess up here. The Bible's always going to be true. You get your heart turned away from God and on other things, your enemies will be stirred up, and you'll start to lose. But if you keep your heart stayed on him with repentance, must remember, you're going to mess up. I'm not telling you not to mess up. I know you're going to mess up. But what I'm telling you is when you do, find your way to God and say you're sorry and mean that you're sorry. Don't, I'm sorry for looking at pornography and then go home and run and look on pornography. That's not being sorry, that's being stupid. Don't mess up and say you're sorry and then go mess up again. And then if you mess up again, make sure you find your way up here and say you're sorry again. The difference between Solomon and David, Solomon's kingdom ended up in a wreck. The only difference, David said, I'm sorry. That's it. Realize who you are, Christian. We are undone people that are never, ever, ever going to get to a point where we don't need to learn about God anymore. The older I get and the more I read this, the more I come to the realization that I don't know that much. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for this morning. Lord, you've given us a beautiful few days. I'm so thankful that you brought our friends back to us.